Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to greet everyone in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Tonight, I would like to talk about some things, talk about morality and sin. But before I go into that, I want to go into the Quran. And I want to read from Surah 95. And this is the 95th chapter called King. And in that chapter, I'm going to deal with three verses, inshallah. Those verses are 4, 5, and 6. Here, my name is Imam Wali Imrani, and this is the commentary of Quran. We are reading the Quran. We read the Quran every time that we come on the radio, and we immerse ourselves in the Quran. But tonight, we're going to talk about a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that pertains to this subject. First of all, we would like to say we thank everyone for tuning in, and we pray Allah that those who can tune in right now, that they can go to Blog Talk Radio and look at our archives and then pull up this particular subject that we're talking about. This is a very, very important subject tonight. Well, we want to talk about, like I said, first we'll say, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is messenger. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, thee to be servant. Thy need we seek, show us the straight way, the way of those by whom thou hast bestowed thy favors, not the way of those whom thou wrathest brought down, nor the way of those who have gone astray after they have heard thy teachings. Again, we'd like to greet you in the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. We seek refuge with Allah from the rejected enemy within ourselves. The verse I want to talk about, again, we want to go to verse number 4, and this is at Al-Teen. This is the 95th chapter of the Quran. Verse 4 reads, that we have surely created the human being in the finest make and the best proportions with enormous capabilities for an all-round advancement through the process of evolution. Number 5, then according to our law of cause and consequence, we degrade him to the lowest of the low if he does evil deeds. And number 6, different, however, is the case of those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, there awaits them a never-ending reward. So, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Again, like I said, we wanted to really focus on these three verses, and we pray Allah, again, if you can, go back to Surah 95, we have a Quran, and read Surah 95, 4 to 6. So, basically, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the source of morality and the origin of evil. Now, we know that we have some who believe, say that they believe in Christianity and they believe in Jesus as being the Son of God, and they say that they talk about the original sin. But we want to dispel that by saying our Creator at the time of our creation gave us a simple and pure nature and embedded in us a desire to seek Him above, adore Him, and worship Him. Allah did that for us, alhamdulillah. We, as Muslims, strive to establish our true sincerity and our true intentions to establish what Allah has embedded into us. And if we sin or we do evil, and we sin out of forgiveness, or if we make a mistake, we immediately go back to Allah, repenting to Allah and say, oh Allah, forgive me if I fall into error. Forgive me if I made a mistake. And not deliberately continue or do that particular sin again. Two of the things that we have, I won't get to that right now, but we have to establish and understand a simple basic knowledge of Allah and His messenger and the word that Allah left with his messenger, the Quran. Recitation of the words that Allah gave to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to get a basic and try to get a basic, simple understanding of this language of Quran so that it will help us against the great deceiver, which is the shaitan. We must establish and understand our racial, upon our rational makeup. We must strive to study the Quran with a rational mind, devoted to Allah. We're devoting and trying to develop a sense of a rational understanding and relating ourselves directly to Almighty God, Allah, and asking Allah to guide us and protect us and show us mercy. And how Allah guides and protects us and shows us mercy is because we are devoted people who say we believe in him, we set up no partners with him, and we constantly read his words and embellish what we read in his words and allow that become our character. We strive to a religious character. So brothers, we and sisters, we strive to look at the book of the Quran and allow the Quran, to become the guidance that we need in our life. Man is already proven that he needs Almighty God, Allah. Shaitan already told Allah that he would not bow down to the man that God made. He said that in the very, very beginning of man's creation, that he would not bow down to the man that God made. So therefore, he became an enemy to man. Allah says in the Quran that he is a void, open enemy to man. And it's up to man to not allow him this envy to poison his mind, his body, and his soul when it comes down to allowing him to be connected with Almighty God, Allah. He must seek refuge with Allah from that which is in him that's trying to keep him away from God. All of these stories and all of these things that man, in his weakness, have come up with in reference to religion is only things that will keep man from Allah, from God. Idol worship is one. Desires is another. Fulfilling his appetites is another, without establishing any sense of virtue. And how he will establish virtue is fast and be married. One of the things that will help man is to protect his, you know, his private parts. This is what Allah was saying to Adam, alayhi salam, when he was in the garden. Allah says, you have the ability to go, you and your wife, to go throughout the garden and eat of anything that you see, but do not go to this tree, because this tree is, you shouldn't go to this tree. We don't want you to go to this tree. But man, his curiosity and listening to the evilness that was in him, that was embedded in him through the shaitan, through influences, and through shaitan whispering to him, he decided to eat of this tree. And what happened? Once he ate of this tree, he found out, him and his wife, that they were naked. So they started to try to get leaves or whatever to put something on and cover their nakedness. Well, that should show you right there that man didn't have to worry about his nakedness before he ate of that tree. But when he ate of that tree, now he has to clothe himself. What is that? You have to clothe yourself with righteousness, good behavior, establishing the moral basis for your development and the development of your mind. And how man does that is he allows himself to be immersed into the book that Allah has given through the Quran as a guidance for those that want to be right. Allah says, in this book there is no doubt is a guidance for those that want to be right. You want to be right? You want to be with God? You want to be right with God? Immerse yourself into the Holy Quran. So I wanted to say that before inshallah, that we go into our subject right there for those like few minutes. Again, Allah says in the Quran, and the human soul, it says, and the human soul and that mighty Lord who made it perfect, then he revealed to it the soul, the ways of its evil and its righteousness. All these are cited to witness that one who purifies it his soul certainly succeeds, and he indeed is ruined who corrupts it. So man destroys himself by his own hands. If he purifies himself and he listens to Allah and allow himself to be guided to that which is guided to right, he'll be saved. There is his salvation. But if he goes on and allows the whisper to whisper into his heart, which is supposed to be connected with to Almighty God, Allah, and Allah's divine word, and he allows this and takes on this whispering and allow him to influence his heart, he is going to corrupt himself. He is going to corrupt his soul. He's going to corrupt his mind. He's going to corrupt his heart. Because that whisper is going to whisper, and then he's going to withdraw after he whispers. He's going to see, he's going to say certain things. Then he's going to see what you do with what he says. He's going to suggest to you. He can't make you, he can't compel you to do anything. All he's do is a power of suggestion. So, brothers and sisters, we must understand that we can't, without the Quran, without Allah, deal with the shaitan. Even though he is weak, he's too strong for us to deal with him one-on-one without Allah, without the Quran. That's why Allah says in this book that there is no doubt it is a guidance for those that want to be free from the shaitan. That's what it's really saying, to be free of the influences and the whispering of the great deceiver. That's why we constantly read the Quran. We try to get in connection with what Almighty God, Allah, is saying and is saying in our own soul. We're striving to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. But the only way we're going to get to, as we would say, the promised land, the promise of development of our own mind and soul, is to get connected with the Quran. So, again, our Creator at the time of our creation gave us a simple and pure nature and embedded in us a desire to seek Him, adore Him, and worship Him. Our innocent nature was fortified with divine guidance and divine inspiration. He gave, Allah says, we have surely created the human being in the finest make and in the best proportions, with enormous capabilities for an all-round advancement through the process of evolution. This description, as well as the statement, and the human soul, and that mighty Lord who made it perfect, then he revealed to it the soul, the ways of its evil and its righteousness, substantiates the absence of evil and the purity of your soul from an inherited sin at the time of your creation. It also states that there was no original sin that needed to be washed away with someone's blood. In other words, you were born innocent and unblemished in your nature, and you did not enter this world carrying a load of original sin. The topic of the origin of good and evil has presented intricate issues for religion and philosophy. Crude notions and inaccurate ideas have given rise to many doctrines. According to the Pauline Christian doctrine, human nature has been contaminated with inherited sin from its very outset. According to Lord Henley Roland George Anderson Wynne, the notion of original sin was absurd, as if machine became amiss at the beginning, A person could not set in right for a thousand of years. Pardon me. Could not set it right for thousands of years. Trouble and misery, which are viewed as fruits of evil, dominate human destiny, from which human beings cannot be extricated. In Buddhism, human liberation lies only in annihilation. This is what they believe. And Hindu philosophies, in turn, have great difficulty rebutting the presumption that power, a Brahman, their greatest god, is the author of evil. Those who suppose that a human being is sinful by birth are mistaken. Similarly, it is a wrong assumption, as believed by some, that a human being is the product of an earlier life when they talk about incarnation. This is untrue. Allah blesses the human being with a life, and Allah blesses the human with a death, and Allah would raise that human back to life when Allah so fit. Not because he was reincarnated. No, he will come back, as it says in the Quran. Even he'll be all the way back to in the day of judgment, and it says as if he will go right back to his fingertips, as he was. We return to Almighty God Allah. It says that the present birth is an outcome of some previous birth, that he is caught up in the ramifications of his actions through a previous existence. There is no mention of original sin, atonement, or transmigration of the soul in the Holy Quran, because these concepts run counter to rational thought and the laws of human nature. Our original instinctive state was the opposite of being selfish and aggressive. It was selfless and loving, definitely controlled animal, which is the Holy Quran calls al-nafs al-amara. Inshallah, we're going to go over that in a minute. The consciousness of good and evil is embedded in human nature. Allah says, we have surely created the human being in the finest make and the best proportions with enormous capabilities for an all-round advancement through the process of evolution. Then according to our law, of cause and consequence, this is the Quran, we degrade him in the lowest of the low if he does evil deeds. Different, however, is the cause of those who believe and do deeds of righteousness. There awaits them a never-ending reward. According, our Creator was and is still the fountainhead of all morality. And the fallen and corrupted state developed later as the word Zuma, then or thereupon or thereafter in the foregoing passage informs us. Thus, the evil in the human being is something that evolved later. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the hadith that I would like for us to remember. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported to have said, no infant is born except with an inborn sense of natural goodness. And then his parents make him a Jew, a Christian, or a Muslim. This is from Bukhari. I'll say this again. No infant is born except with an inborn sense of natural goodness. And then his parents make him a Jew, a Christian, or a Muslim. And I want to say this, too, because we're looking at what Allah says in the Quran about, he talks about, it says, take not the Jews and Christians for friends, for they're friends of one another. And we say that the language of the Bible is corrupted and the language of the Torah is corrupted, but the language of Quran is pure. But in this world, we know in our society, in our community, in our neighborhood, we have corrupt, truthfully believe this, as I heard the Imam W.D. Muhammad say this, 1996, he said, "I truthfully believe that they are corrupted Jews. Many of them, a lot of them are corrupt." And he said, "I truthfully believe that there are many, many corrupted Christians who have gone astray." And he said, "And I also believe, and I believe it too, that there are many corrupted Muslims who say La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Rasul, but in their actions and the way, in their not listening and reading and immersing themselves in the Quran, are corrupted from the very source of the divine mind that will help them if they would only surrender themselves to Almighty God Allah and give up the ways of the dunya and stop running after the dunya in this worldly life. This is what corrupts us as people, Muslims, Christians, and Jews. We are corrupted in our knowledge of Allah. We are corrupted in our understanding of Allah. We are corrupted in our faith. We think that we believe, but Allah says they say they believe, but in reality they don't believe. And Allah says, and they don't even perceive, they're not aware that they don't believe." That's beautiful understanding of why some of us in the condition that we're in, because we say, "I believe. I'm a believer in Allah. I'm a believer in God. I believe that God exists. I believe that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth." But in reality, they don't really believe. Their faith is not there, and they don't really believe. And then it says they really don't perceive. They're not aware. They're not conscious of this not being able to believe. So that's a person, individuals who are in a wretched condition because he is disconnected from Almighty God, because he really sincerely, with his intentions, he may think that he believed, but he doesn't believe. That's why we have to constantly read the Quran, because it reminds us to keep our faith and to keep our head down and bowing and prostrating and be giving sajda to Almighty God Allah, and to realize that God put this in us to worship him and him only, not to worship anything else. Alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, I'm going to continue. Like I said, going back to talking about, it says, when it is said that a human being is by nature good and virtuous, the question arises as to why we are endowed with negative states and why troubles and agonies are part of human destiny. In the light of the Quranic teachings, the answer is that it cannot be denied that some negative faculties found in human beings lead to hardship and defilement. This condition does not prove that humans are sinful by nature. These negative emotions have a use. They have been forced to us for the defensive needs. A human being needs such emotions as much as he needs the finer emotions, such as sympathy and forbearance. The fact of the matter is that all the faculties found in a human personality, if used properly, are good morals in themselves. If at any time you see a defect in your personality or if you notice a slip, it is due to your misuse of these faculties. The capacity for good morals have been endowed in your nature. And through your use of willpower and training, this capability, can safeguard against slip-ups. The Holy Quran teaches that when an immoral act is committed, human nature and natural animal life instincts are not the basic motivators of such an act. Instead, the perpetrator's wrong upbringing his training, his unsuitable environment, his desires instigated in a society of artificial created necessities, his bad company, and his imbalanced use of the natural passions and impulses generate his animal-like behavior. However, when you or when your passions and impulses come into play, you can retain within the bounds of divine law, and such consequential acts can fall within the definition of good morals. For example, your libido can be controlled by marriage, your hunger from observing a fast, your anger from self-discipline. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It says, love of God, the worship of God, and God's is a natural as your inclination towards eating good and pure things and channeling your libido, because this first inclination is in complete accord with your nature and disposition and the very desire of your heart. What is the heart? It is the inspired command of Allah. And the inclination of your heart towards the dictates of your passions is imposed upon, it says, imposed upon it from outside your person. Behavior psychologists have invented excuses to justify selfish and aggressive behavior. The main one being that you, as a human being, have savage animal instincts that make you compete and fight for food, shelter, territory, and a mate. This explanation has risen from the biological theory of social Darwinism. However, just blaming your genes fails to adequately explain your selfish and aggressive behavior. In the first place, the theory overlooks the fact that your behavior involves your unique, fully conscious thinking mind. Goes back to what the Imam W.D. Muhammad said earlier over 40 years ago, that man means mind. Your thinking mind. If your mind is right, your heart will be right. Because your mind will be constantly pondering on Almighty God Allah and trying to establish a purity of thought, a purity of consciousness, a purity of awareness. That's what man should be thinking about and striving to be like in his nature, in his biological makeup. But he gets cut off because his mind is not fully conscious of Almighty God Allah. It says such descriptions as arrogant, deluded, hateful, mean, immoral, and not only all imply consciousness derived actions. The savage instincts in you cannot be the real explanation for your divisive, selfish, and aggressive behavior of yours. It says, this theory overlooks the fact that you also have a cooperative and loving moral instincts which is recognized as your conscience. And these moral instincts in you are not derived from situations where you always do something good or all for others in return for a benefit you expect from them, as evolutionary psychologists would have you believe. No, you have an unconditional, selfless, fully altruistic, that is, universal considerate of others. You have a true loving and genuinely moral conscience. If you use it, if you're connected to Allah, it will come forth. If you constantly bow down to Allah, it will come out. If you constantly making wudu and ghusl and establishing your purity on the outside, the purity from within will just come out. This is why we go through all of these rituals, brothers and sisters. If human faculties are the source of morals and immoral actions emanate from humans, must you then understand that some of these emotions and faculties are evil in themselves? The Holy Quran has answered this question in the negative, teaching that the headwaters of human birth are not mothered, nor is sin an immoral behavior, an intrinsic part of human nature. Whatever blessings you have, Allah says this in Quran, whatever blessings you have come from Allah. And when affliction befalls you, is from you. It is to him that you cry for redress. All faculties, brothers and sisters, that come from Allah are for the good of humanity. If properly used within given limits, they cannot harm you. The Holy Prophet, again, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, the good, all of it, is in the hands of Allah, and the evil does not go back to him. Allah is not the source of evil, nor did evil enter into the world as a separate entity. Rather, evil results from the misuse of faculties provided to you by Almighty God, Allah. Allah created the human being and breathed into him his spirit and then made him his vicegerent on earth. Allah says, we have surely created the human being in the finest make and in the best proportions with enormous capabilities for all-rounded advancement through the process of evolution. Therefore, sin and evil are not innate features of human nature. Rather, humans have impulses towards morality and righteousness. And it states, the foremost question that arises concerning any moral code of what are the sources of and the cause of evil? Question. The Holy Quran mentions three sources of good morality, and all three are embedded in human nature. They are the commanding self, the self of reproaching spirit, and faith in the Almighty God Allah. All praise is due to Allah. I'm so overwhelmed with the fact that Allah guides whom he pleases when he pleases. And when God guides you, nobody can turn you around and put you astray. And when you're astray, no one can guide you but Allah. That's why we ask Allah and I do all our guide us among those whom thou hast guided aright. Preserve us among those whom thou hast preserved. Protect us from the evil which thou hast judged, and none can judge against thee. In the future, I'm not going to have an hour lecture. It's too much. I want to give at least 30 minutes, maybe. I'll even go to 45 minutes because really I want you to be able to digest the information that we're bringing from the Holy Quran, from commentary of the Quran, and from what Imam W.D. Muhammad brought us in his life, in his leadership for the last 33 years. He brought us and gave us information that can save our lives if we really want our lives to be so saved. Let's talk about this first one. Inshallah, hopefully we'll have enough time to finish all three. The first one is the commanding self, the nafs al-ammara. I told you we was going to talk about this. The exciting animal impulses that drives a human being to common or to commit evil acts is the commanding self, the nafs al-ammara. You read in the Holy Quran that Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salam, said, yet I do not hold myself to be free from weakness. For the commanding self, the animal self, is surely prone to enjoying evil, except on whom my Lord has mercy. Your commanding intellect challenges your inborn to do good instincts for control, and a battle breaks out between your inborn instincts and the commanding self. If the commanding self wins the battle, you can fall into the selfish and aggressive state known as the evil condition. Controlling the commanding self, nafs al-amara, which is exciting and evil action, is the first source of morality. your human reasoning faculty is significantly well developed. You can critically self-analyze your own behavior, conscious of the evil exciting forces, and perceive both the immediate and the remote consequences of your actions. I'm going to read that again. Controlling the commanding self, which is exciting and in evil action, is the first source of morality. Your human reasoning faculties is sufficiently well developed that you can critically self-analyze your behavior, become conscious of the evil exciting forces, and perceive both the immediate and the remote consequences of your actions. It is your sense of critical self reasoning that is triggered whenever animal-like impulses, actions, and behavior try to take control. So this, again, is the first source of morality. Out of this exercise of reasoning and controlling efforts, a basic moral state starts to take shape. In other words, the foundation of good morals lies in your exercising control over your natural endowed powers and instincts. Hunger and sexuality are the basic commanding needs of both humans and animals alike. If you can bring these basic commanding forces under control through fasting and marriage, they then become virtues. It must be emphasized that there are varying degrees of quality and quantity of natural powers among individuals. There is a difference between origins and practical manifestations of emotions across various races, regions, and cultures, and those differences give rise to a vast sea of moral values. The Holy Quran has not only discussed in detail the basic human emotions and instincts, but also has gone further by bringing to light the underlying causes behind the arousal of such emotions. It can also guide you to channel and sublimate these emotions in an effort to establish and evolve your moral perception and behavior. Now, the second one is the self-approaching spirit, nafs al-lawama. The second source of morality is the self-reproaching spirit, nafs al-lawama. This is the voice of the conscience, which, brothers and sisters, please, I pray a lot you get that, you really listen to this. This is the voice of the conscience, which becomes louder in the face of a wrongful act. Every human being is endowed with this voice. You read, and Allah says, "And I swear by bringing to witness the self-reproaching soul, nafs al-lawama, at the doing of an evil deed as an evidence to the truth of final resurrection." The self-reproaching spirit, nafs al-lawama, is present in every person, and every person is endowed with a voice of conscience that reproaches him when he performs an evil act. A person with a sense of morality tries to get a ruling from nafs al-lawama, which is the call of the conscience. Here is a simple method for getting ruling from the voice of your conscience. When you are about to commit an action affecting others, you should first imagine applying such an action to yourself. If you would not be adversely affected by this action applied to you, and if the action proves to be good and effective for you, then such an action would also likely be beneficial and good for others. If you cannot accept it for yourself, then you must assume that it is inappropriate for others as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, when deciding, whether something is good or bad, ask your inner self. And if that deed gives you a feeling of satisfaction to your heart and your inner soul, it is a virtuous deed. The deed that wrangles in your heart and produces hesitancy in your mind is a sinful deed. However, even though people may tell you that it is a lawful deed, the question that arises is the following. If the self-reproaching spirit is present in every person, and if every person is endowed with the voice of conscience, then why is it that so many people still commit immoral acts? The answer is simple. Though our conscience does raise its voice in protest against the commission of such acts, most people do not pay heed to that voice. Immorality is a poison, and repeated does this poison blunt or destroy the self-approaching conscience. SubhanAllah. Again, immorality is poison to your heart, poison to your soul, poison to your mind, poison to your whole physical, mental, and moral makeup. Immorality acts that are no good. The third thing that we want to talk about is faith in the Almighty. The third and ultimate source of morality is faith in the Almighty. Through a firm faith in Allah, you become free of all weaknesses, unlawful and prohibited acts, and find peace and tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, verily those who say Allah is our Lord and then remain steadfast and follow the straight path, the angels will descend upon them saying, have no fear nor grief, rather rejoice at the glad tidings of receiving the gardens of paradise, which you have been promised. We are your patron in the present life and in the hereafter, and you shall find in that paradise all that you desire, and you shall have therein all that you ask for. This is the Surah 41, chapter 41, verse 30. Faith is a supreme deity. Faith in a supreme deity is within your nature, as it is within the nature of all humans. Faith is at your disposal and exists within your various natural states. Faith in Allah is the foundation of the Quranic code of ethics, in the sense that Allah's attributes are like milestones on the way to good morals. It is through this channel that your soul can find its ultimate peace and tranquility, which is called in the Holy Quran, Al-Nafs Al-Mutmainnah, the soul at peace. Faith in the hereafter and the day of judgment is the continuation of the principle of retribution and recompense for your deeds, which is the provable determinant in the laws of nature. If you are merely adhering to a moral code only by using your own personal judgment or the norms of your society, you are not motivated by the idea of any reward that you may get. When the Holy Quran motivates you towards higher morals, however, it is simultaneously tells you that by adopting higher morals, you not only improve and reform society, but you are also making your next life better. This is the verse I was saying, 41:30. It's also 41:30 and 41. Read that, inshallah, if you can. When a person with faith in Allah commits an act of disobedience, he exposes himself to divine punishment. When affliction descends upon him because of this act, he returns to Allah in repentance. His repentance may be accepted by him depending on the level of faith. Allah then repeals from him and protects him and possibly others from the consequences of his wrongful deeds. This occurs because of divine mercy. The believer then offers thanks to his Lord. in the form of purifying alms and his repentance. Allah says, do they not know that Allah is he who accepts repentance from his servants and accepts their alms, and that Allah is he who is all-returning with compassion, ever merciful? The significance of the words, do they not know, is inevitable. Nothing can stop him from accepting the repentance of his servant. And in return, he expects the servant to give alms to the poor and needy. Alhamdulillah. That's one of the principles of Islam, the principle of charity. Giving. Allah gives, you give. Allah gives, you give. Allah gives, you don't hold on just for yourself. It's not meant for just you. It's for men, for those who are in need. You are in need, Allah blesses you, then you give those who are in need so they can get blessed. That's the beauty of Allah and his deen and his life. And how? And you're not giving anything to Allah. You're giving to those who Allah have put in here for you to help. That is a part of your ibadah. That's a part of your belief system. There's a word now to be called kulq. Is the term used in the Quran to describe the disposition in a human being's virtue from which moral actions flow spontaneously and effortlessly. All the moral principles that exist are nothing else but a manifestation of natural human emotions, and human nature is the source of them all. However, also the human being can degrade himself to the lowest of the low if he does evil deeds. He degrades himself only because of the divine law, cause and consequences. The attributes of Allah mentioned in the Holy Quran are the measures, the balance and standard of good. Observations of those measures is a virtue, and their contravention is sin. Virtue is not the suppression of denial of your human passions. When controlled correctly, passions can lead you to develop a high morality. It says, ascetism have always caused more harm than good because they demand the suppression of natural impulses. That ascetism is also priesthood, being a monk. Has always caused more harm than good because they command or they demand the suppression of natural impulses, a suppression that can have disastrous results. On the other hand, all natural human impulses are necessary constituents for human progress. It is only a question of measure and balance. The Holy Quran use many words to differentiate the various acts of such words as dhan, ilm, udwan, shar, fuhush, su'i, isyan, fisk, fujar, khatar, fasad, taqi, munkar, and kufr. Each of these words express a different aspect of evil. Look in Surah 30, verse 31, 3135, and 3147. Dhisand is an act whose consequences are disagreeable because of the unintentional disobedience. It is an evil act committed through inadvertence, pardon me. Ithm, Surah 2, 188, 206, Surah 2, 206, Surah 5, verse 2, 6, 120, Surah 6, 120, Surah 24, 11. On the other hand, it is an intentional offense or a crime. Udwan is a transgression, a going beyond the limit, a state of being in hatred. Charlotte is finding the faults in others, the decent into evil. nature from one's upbringing. Fuhush is shameful, immoderate lewdness, the knowledge of which is confined to one who commits it. This is in Surah 2, verse 168, Surah 3, verse 135, Surah 4, verse 15, Surah 4, verse 19. Sa'i is a bad deed that makes a person regret and feel sorrow. Look at Surah 2, 169, Surah 3, 30, Surah 4, 17, Surah 4, 149, Surah chapter 9, verse 37, Surah 12, verse 24. Tisyan is rebelling against the law. Surah 2, verse 61, 3, verse 112. 73 verse 16 and 79 verse 21. Fisk is first accepting a law, but then going against it. This is in Surah 5 verse 3, 6 verse 121. Fujar is all wickedness. 38:28, 71:27, 75:5. Kata is the commission of an offense accidentally. Mischief making that very cause bloodshed. In Fasad, 211, 60, 756, 3821, and 4722. Ba'i is rebellious transgression. 290, 319, 733. The vice that society and people discover and condemn is Munkar. 3:104, 110, 114, 579, 7:157, 9:67. Besides these social evils are those that pertain to God, such as denying his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all his messages, 398 and 3814. Hiding the truth revealed by God. That's kufr. That's total disbelief. Hiding, and it says hiding at the revealed word of God, by God. Betraying trust, 4:107. And associating son to God, 2:116, 10:68, and 17:111. I went over those three, inshallah. If you would like to get a copy of the commentary and reflections of the Quran, I have it. You can read it for yourself. If not, if you get a chance to listen to this tape or you taped it, if you can go back and look at some of those verses in Quran, it will give you a better understanding of just what, how you should look at evil. Because evil is, like I said, if you don't practice the faith of Almighty God Allah, you're going to be touched with that. If you don't look at the faith in the Almighty, you're going to be touched with the evil that's in the world. It's all around us. That's why we constantly say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim." Evil is all around us. It's within us. We have evil tendencies and evil influences that within us that we should strive to put off and leave. And I'm going to end my talk today. I'm very tired. Like I said, I will try to just have a 30-minute talk or maybe 45 minutes. But I pray, Allah, that you got something out of our talk today. And if you want to go back, it's in the archives of Law Talk Radio under Commentary of Quran by Imam Wali Umrani. What we're trying to do is give you understanding of the Quran for the common man. For those common men and women who wants to understand, when we say common man, I'm not talking about the physical man. I'm talking about the common mind. Those who want to come into the realization of their soul and connect themselves with Almighty God Allah. So thank you so much tonight. I pray Allah everyone has a restful night and a wonderful day tomorrow. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. We ask you to go in the name of Allah and his messenger. Help you. Thank you so much. Again, we're going to cut off right now. But we pray, Allah, that you got something out of it. We pray that, you know, if you want to get a copy of the Quran, again, I constantly bring this out. You know, you can contact me at 908-821-7058. You can pick up a copy of the Quran. You can pick up a copy of the commentary and selections of the Quran. You can also pick up a copy of the dictionary of the Quran. But these are books that only for those who really and sincerely want to get into their Quran. These are not books that you should just get just because you say you have them, but you don't read them. Don't do that. If you have a library, brothers and sisters, get into your library, study your books, because you need the weapons that are in those books that help you. You need the du'as that's in those books that can help you. You need Islam, Islam, Islam. You need Quran, you need Quran, you need Quran. Thank you so much, and I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is his messenger. Surely we turn ourselves to thee, O Allah, trying to be upright, to he originated the heavens and the earth, and we are not of the polytheists. Surely our prayer and our sacrifice, our life and our death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We greet you in the greetings of peace for all the people of the planet earth. The greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Have a again. Peace.